B61. Number 3A.
Do these examples. For instance, we take a few subjects from the tone of soul. Very often we say, well, we must identify ourselves with ideas. And that's very nice. Is this science or is that metaphysics? Metaphysics, yes, because we identify ourselves with ideas. What then would be the science aspect of it?
Soul defining itself.
Soul defining itself, or soul defining me? Huh? Defining what man is, defining really us. Huh? So instead that we identify ourselves with ideas, soul identifies man with ideas. That's a quite a different attitude. So in soul I always see that there is something going on in being called soul, God as soul, and that soul is constantly identifying me correctly. And is therefore operating constantly in order that I identify myself correctly. Then science includes metaphysics. Yes. So can you see science always includes metaphysics, but we start in the demonstration with science and seeing that soul is alone at work. There is no other power at work in identifying anything properly but God, soul. And so I begin to realize that in being, soul is constantly identifying me correctly, divinely, scientifically. And because that soul operates on me, because it has a Christ, therefore I begin to see the identity of what is called my individuality. Or we have very often that we say that we are controlling thoughts with ideas, that ideas should control our thoughts. Is that metaphysics? Is that science? Metaphysics, yes. Why is it metaphysics?
Human thought comes in.
Perhaps human thought comes in, yes. And we control human thoughts with idea. It's an activity that we do. Instead of letting science do it, what would science say to it? Yes? Yes? Yes, that what controls our thoughts? Are we controlling our thoughts with ideas? Ideas control us.
Ideas.
Yes? Nearly, huh? Yes. Do you go out now from the Infinite One?
Ideas control our thoughts.
Are ideas the Infinite One?
God controls all.
God or soul controls all thoughts, huh? We let soul control our thoughts, and not we controlling our thoughts with ideas. That's metaphysics. But if I let God, soul, control my thoughts, then it's science. Science controls our thoughts with ideas. And so I give everything back, really, to soul. Can you see how in this case also I have been asked to answer another question, namely, what is the difference between absorbing and reflecting? We had the window pane. Well, does the window pane actually absorb the light? It doesn't. Huh? Absorbing would be if the window pane would take in the light and absorb it and say, this is mine. it lets the light through, or it reflects it by giving it back to God. So whenever we think that we can do something good, we absorb it. We absorb it in ourselves and say, we are, instead of God, we can do things. We can really control thoughts with ideas. And so this is absorption, that's not true reflection. Reflection is when we give it always back to God, to the synonym. So whenever something is manifest, like soul controlling, then I must see that it is soul that is controlling and not me controlling it with ideas. If I think I can control it with ideas, I absorb the ideas within myself. I don't reflect them. I keep it for myself and say, I can do what God can do. Or I do it instead of God or in the place of God. Whereas if I put myself out of the way completely, as Mrs. Eddy asks us to do, to get out of the way, then I see, I reflect only what God is doing by giving it always back to God. So I give it back and say, soul controls the thought through the ideas of soul. So I give everything back to soul. That's the difference between absorbing and reflecting. Very often we are faced with a problem, and facing with a problem we try to find the right or definite answer. We want to have the definite answer. Now, what is the metaphysical attitude? Metaphysical attitude is to find or seek the definite answer. I start out and say, I want to find the definite answer, and I seek that definite answer. What does science say to that situation?
God is the creative principle.
Well, what has that to do with the definite answer? Yeah. Now, what gives a definite answer is naturally soul, not principle, huh? But, so it shows that soul, we must let soul give us the definite answer. Not we trying to find the definite answer. That's metaphysics. If we try very hard to find the right answer, what we have to do is to put all that behind us and see that God, soul, is always definite, knows all as mind, and as soul knows everything quite clear and definite. Therefore, soul is giving us the right and definite answer for what we have to know. And only if we let soul do that, and not we trying to impose a definite answer to something, we really find a scientific solution. We have in soul another rule that we very often use, namely that we exchange things into thoughts. As Mrs. Eddy says, that metaphysics, divine metaphysics, exchanges things into thoughts. So I already said it, that it is metaphysics that does that. Metaphysics is that which takes things and starts out with things, and then tries to exchange that for the ideas of soul. But what does science do? How does that exchange take place from the point of view of science? What is our consciousness and from the point of view of science? Did I understand you rightly that you said science exchanges things into thoughts? Yes. Can science do that? Does science know things? Actually not, huh? Yes. Huh?
Can you see how difficult it seems to be to go out from God? Because you, most of you, have a very, very long education in the church. And that church always teaches metaphysics and not science. Well, still, what happens in order that really things are exchanged for ideas? What happens in science? Soul defines and identifies only ideas, and therefore excludes matter. Does not resolve things or matter into mind, but excludes matter, which is something very different. Because God is has only a one-valued logic, therefore only knows itself, does not know its opposite. Therefore, science cannot exchange things into thoughts because it doesn't know things. But the very same result is being brought about through science by excluding really matter, which is a false identity. And by excluding false identity, there is only the true identities that are established. Can you see the very different method of handling the same situation? That's what I want to bring out over and over. Do you get into the rhythm of it? Let's take another from soul. You know that we say that soul reforms. Now, how does reformation take place? In metaphysics, what are we doing in order to reform? What do we do in metaphysics?
From sense to soul.
From sense to soul. We go away from sense to soul, for instance, yes. We, in metaphysics, we rebuke error and rebuke sin, yes. We translate it, yes. We translate it from matter back into spirit. What do we do in science? You have answered that from the point of view of science, that it says, well, soul only knows its own identity, always establishes its own definite identity, and therefore there is nothing to be reformed. The very act of going out from soul and seeing that soul only is... that soul is sinless, that it is without fault, that it is untouched by sin and death, that soul is immortal, that establishes the true identity. Yes. Okay. Let's take some from principle. Now, we know that principle is spiritual power, the power of demonstration, the power of proof. Now, metaphysically seen, what do we do if we see that principle is spiritual power? What are we doing in metaphysics? What do we believe in metaphysics?
We make a demonstration,
yes, that we have powerful thoughts, that thoughts are powerful, that thoughts demonstrate something. Isn't it that the student thinks that by thinking about ideas that these thoughts have power, that they are going to do something to a situation? So we believe actually in the power of thinking. We believe, therefore, also in a system of thought, a thought system. Yes? What is the scientific aspect of it in regard to principle and its demonstration?
Principle governs all ideas, governs itself.
principle demonstrates itself, principle demonstrates its own ideas. Another very big point here is we say we have a problem, and then we say metaphysically we will work out that problem. Isn't that a rendering that we hear quite often? I have to work out the problem. I have to make a demonstration. Isn't that what we hear? Well, what is that? If we make a demonstration, how are we going to make a demonstration? All right, that's science, huh? That says principle demonstrates us. Yes? Therefore, the great problem is, do we know what the problem is that has to be solved? Huh?
No.
Most people make like that, huh? No, huh? That's right, huh? That's right. Is that a common attitude among students, that they don't know what the problem is? They feel sick, they know what the problem is, they are sick, or they have lack of income, they know what the problem is, don't they? Yeah. And science says, no, you don't know. You don't know what the problem is, because the human mind cannot define the problem. If we would know from the human mind standpoint what the problem is, then we would be more intelligent than God, or we would have to be more intelligent than God. So the great point is that we say we don't know what the real problem is. I say now the real problem is not the outward manifestation. The outward manifestation can be suffering or lack or anything like that, but that's not the problem. The problem, that's the effect of something that was going wrong. That's not the problem. The problem is what is the cause of it. So, actually, we can see, first of all, we could see that we, if we have the attitude that we have to solve a problem, that we accept the problem as something real, which is wrong. Therefore, the fact about it would be the very first thing, namely that principle knows no negative problems. That principle is not aware of problems. So then we would really get first the right attitude. Is that also? Principle? Yes, principle knows everything that is positive. What would you say is a positive problem?
If you fell heir to a lot of money.
I wish I had that positive problem. No. That's not the positive problem. That's a problem in the material world, huh?
Oh, well, I can't see that there would be a positive. I don't understand how there could be a positive problem.
Yes.
In spirit, spiritually. I can't see how there would be.
Yes. Well, does any science have positive problems? Does mathematics have positive problems? Yes. Huh? What are positive problems? Positive problems are to find, so to say, a higher frame of the subject, a higher range of a subject. These are positive problems. They are not problems where you have to solve something that is wrong
or correct something that is wrong. Positive problems is how to evolve the idea of science. And that's what all the universities are interested in, mostly. They are not there to correct constantly what has been done wrongly, but they are researching. And therefore, they pose positive problems. And only by posing positive problems can the research go on and find new frame of references. At the beginning, say, we only had the numeration table in arithmetic, counting just the numbers, addition, subtraction. But then came the wider range, algebra, or came trigonometry, or calculus. These are all positive problems. They did not correct a wrong solution. Can you see that? And therefore, that is the most important thing for us too. If we can't see that there are positive problems which principle can solve, science would make no progress. All right. Let's take life. For instance, we say we must live Christian science. What is that? If you live Christian science, who is living it? Who is living it? We, huh? Yeah, it's the we. The moment you have the we, naturally you have the personal standpoint. And that's the question that has been asked. Well, what is the difference between a personal standpoint and the principal standpoint? But actually, a personal standpoint looks at the situation always different than the principal standpoint. And that is always the great difficulty, that as long as we look at anything, a problem from a personal standpoint, then we always project into a situation our personal views. So the problem always becomes personalized. The problem is therefore then is no more the problem per se, but it is our subjective view of the problem. We project into the problem our limited personal point of view. Whereas from principle standpoint, we are not judging any situation according to a personal system of reference, according to human values, according to a human standard of values. We always go right to principle and say only principle has brought about the situation, therefore what is at work in principle? So in life, when we say, well, we have to live Christian science, then it is our concept of Christian science that we live. And as everybody has a different concept of Christian science, we live a different life. And there we must say, but that is not science. That's a very personal, subjective point of view. In order really to live Christian science, we must not try to live it, but to see that life lives us. That's the great point. That life lives us. Just as principle demonstrates us, so in life, life lives us. So that man really is the experience of God. God really experiencing himself is our life. In the same vein, we say that we must apply
Christian Science. You see, apply has the tone of life, it's the method, the practice of it. We must apply Christian Science. Now, what is that? It's again metaphysics. So again, you can hear all through your life that everybody in the church and your friends and so on, and even our students say, well, the main thing is not to understand Christian Science, the main thing is to live it. That's the main thing. How are you going to live it? Do we know what life is? Do we, as that little person, that little I, know what life is, what we have to live? We don't know.